Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
How much do you love my theme music? It's pretty rad. It's sort of upbeat, but like a little sassy. I like it. Mostly because I picked it. Anyway, hey guys, welcome. It's episode 14 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker, and it's October, which means Halloween is just around the corner. I cannot wait. I've already got Chan's Halloween costume picked out, and now I just have to figure out what Chris and I are going to go as, which is usually a challenge because, of course, in LA, everybody goes way over the top with their Halloween costumes because it's all very theatrical, but also they have access to like professional makeup artists and hair people and stylists and all of that. And so I'm like, well, I guess I won't go to the Halloween spirit store and pay $39.99 to dress up as a ketchup bottle. no, we definitely will not be doing that this year, but we will be dressing up, and I will be posting the crap out of it on Twitter, so make sure you're ready for that. Also, because it's October and Halloween, I have a couple of guests on the show that are big fans of horror and Halloween and whatnot, and one of them is my guest on the show today, Catherine Knipe. Kat has a podcast called Boys and Ghouls because she is a big, big Halloween fan and horror movie fan, but also you guys might recognize her because she had a video and a photo go viral recently, and I'm curious to ask her what exactly that did for her career as an actress, if anything at all. So you guys definitely want to listen for that information. And what else? Oh, speaking of actresses, I too am an actor. Don't know if you know that. I'm kind of a big deal. I had a really big audition this last week. And man, it was one of those like auditions that I have had a few of that are just like game changers. Like it could be, if I got this part, a life-changing opportunity for me. And it's really frustrating as an actor because you never know when you go into those roles if they've already cast it. Maybe they've already offered that part to a big celebrity, somebody who's, you know, got more of a quote-unquote name in showbiz, or if they truly are considering you for the part. And, you know, everybody sort of comes from nowhere. It's, a pretty big myth, the overnight success and, you know, plucked off the streets of Hollywood kind of thing, at least in my experience. So when I get an opportunity like this to go out for a big part in a movie that has big names attached to it, and I'm sorry I'm being so shady and secretive. I'm just pretty sure they're all listening to my show. it's very exciting to me, and I try not to put too much pressure on myself. And I think, you know, a lot of times as actors, there's something, I mean, we want it so bad. We want that success and we want to be working actors so bad. And then when it doesn't happen, it's so heartbreaking and crushing. And, you know, it's hard not to get excited. It's hard not to get excited when you have big auditions. So I went in, I did the best that I could do. If I get it, I'm going to stop doing the podcast and just let you guys know about it on my True Hollywood Story. Do they even do those anymore? I don't think I've seen an True Hollywood Story in quite a long time. I'm going to look into that. So while I do that, you guys sit back, relax, and listen to my interview with Kat Knipe. She is so much fun. She's a wealth of information about podcasting, horror films, and witches. Who knew? It's going to be a good time. So here is my interview with Kat Knipe. Joining me today in the studio, and I use the term studio lightly, is Kat Knipe, Catherine
aka Kat. We just had a fun conversation about what she prefers to be called.
Meow.
Yeah.
First of all, congratulations to you on your pending nuptials.
Thank you.
That is so exciting.
We're getting married in less than 2 months now.
Wow. And you're going to try on dresses today.
I'm going to my first fitting. I have chosen a dress.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's
pretty fun.
Yeah. Are you going to get drunk before you go?
We will get drunk there.
Okay. That's even better.
It's funny. When I went to try, and I'm not going to say, my fiance will listen to this podcast. I don't want him to know anything about my dress. So I'm not going to say where I went. But when my stepmother and I went to try on dresses the first time, we didn't have an appointment. We just kind of wandered into the store because I wanted to try on dresses, and they happened to have a cancellation. So we were like, whatever. And they fit us in. They were really sweet about it, but it was kind of rushed.
Yeah.
So this time I emailed them and I was like, hey, can we get like an experience this time?
Yeah, instead of us rushing through. Oh, yeah. How lovely.
So champagne will be there. It will be lovely.
Oh my God, I miss that so much.
Well, I'm realizing through this process, like, there are things that I'm feeling girly about. And one of those is, give me some bubbly and I'll put on a dress.
I feel like it's the time when even like the most like non-girly, non-pink wearing, you know, girl can just, you know, let a little bit of that girly out.
I watched an episode of Say Yes to the Dress. I love it. It's my thing. Let it go.
It's so great.
It's just fun. It's candy television, yeah, whatever. Totally. It's trash, but I love it. And there was a girl who came. It was Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta, which I prefer to the New York one. It's so much fun because all the people who work there are so sassy and they deal with crazy people.
Right. And all the people from those tiny podunk towns in Georgia are like, give me your biggest dress.
Yes.
I want a lot of beads.
Uh-huh. And there was a girl who came in and she had on cowboy boots and she was like, I'm gonna be wearing these boots with my dress, whatever I get. And they got cow poo on them. They're gonna have cow poo on them. And they were like, do they have cow poop on them now? And she was like, see right there. And they were completely horrified. So, but she ended up, she was like, I don't really like getting dressed up. But then she ended up they put her in a dress and she was like, I like this dress a lot. Like even her.
Yeah. Country ways.
Fell away magically.
Oh my God, I love it. I remember trying on dresses and my mom just sobbing with each one. That's the one. And I'm like, no.
No, mom.
No, we're going to keep trying them on. And I found my dress pretty quickly, pretty early on in my wedding search phase.
Yeah.
But I still went to other places and tried on a bunch of dresses because it's the only time.
Yes.
I mean, technically, it's supposed to be the only time that you
unless
get
you're
to
in
that.
An episode of Friends and you just pretend you're getting married and
Yeah. Unless you're a serial divorcer, which in Hollywood is sort of, you know,
kind of
it's
fun.
Cool to do that, I guess.
Yeah. It is a really fun time.
I know. So you're tell me a little bit about your fiancé.
My fiancé.
You guys have known each other since college, right?
A long time. Yeah. Yes. His name is Alec, and he is great. And we became friends in college. We met our freshman year of college, which was 2003. And then started dating a couple of years after that. And then we had a break, and then we got back together in the summer of 2011. So it's been 4.5 years, something like that. And he's great, and he works in television. He works in the writer's room on Code Black, which will be premiering September 30th, and everyone should watch it.
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing promos for that.
Marcia Gay Harden stars, and Luis Guzman is in it. And who doesn't love him? He's great. And so he's very funny, and he's very,
why is he in such a heavy drama then?
Luis Guzman?
I'm sorry. I thought you meant your fiancé.
Yes, Alec is very funny.
Okay.
Oh, well, it just kind of shook out that way. Actually, what I think is the best thing about the scenario is I think one of the reasons you asked me to come on this podcast at this time of year is because I love scary movies.
Yes.
I love everything horror. And Alec doesn't do good with the gore. He doesn't do too well with that stuff. So I have watched, I can't tell you how many movies, more than once, because I watch it first to screen it for him and make sure he's going to be okay.
Is it just like the blood and violence?
Yeah, it's
or the suspense.
It's no, he likes the suspense. He gets really dramatic about it, and even in like Paranormal Activity, like movies that aren't gory, his skin crawls and he gets crazy, but he can handle it. It's the blood. He has a very hard time. The images stick in his head and get kind of compulsive. And I have my own things with that, but it's not gore. So anyway, the grand dramatic irony of all this is that when he finally gets the opportunity to work write on a show. Well, he's the writer's assistant.
Oh, okay.
But he's having a great time learning and contributing and all of that, and ideally will become staffed on something.
Oh, that'd be great.
But the
subject matter.
The grand joke is that he's on a show where he constantly has to talk and hear about medical emergencies and had to tour an emergency room at LA County Hospital.
Oh my God.
And they're like bringing in motorcycle accidents and all this stuff. But what's funny is he's actually come home now and started to tell me stories like, oh my gosh, we were talking about this thing today and I have to ask him to stop because it's disgusting.
So he's
getting desensitized.
Okay, I was gonna say, so he's sort of like embracing it a little bit more.
It's weird.
Getting
used to it. The other day, I was the Evil Dead, the new Evil Dead TV show, which I'm so excited about. The trailer came out, and I was watching it and just about in tears, just so happy because it feels so real and authentic to the original movie.
Is Bruce Campbell in it?
Yes, he's the star. It's so happy.
Chris will kill me for not knowing that. He'll be like, "Oh my God, why do you know that?"
You just knew it.
When?
Just now, well, you just said, like, oh. Bruce Campbell's in it.
No, I asked, is Bruce Campbell in
it? Yeah, but you know who Bruce Campbell is.
I do.
See?
Because of...
You should be proud.
Because of that show he did with that really hot guy in Florida. Oh, my God. Oh, Chris is going to kill me again.
No. He did...
Burn Notice. What were you going to say?
In Briscoe County Jr., I think. I don't know.
He did Burn Notice, and yes. Chris was a big fan of that show, so we watched that a lot. So that's mostly why I know who Bruce Campbell is.
You know how sassy he is. He's so funny.
He's very funny.
Yes.
So he's going to be in the TV show, too.
And I told Alec, I was like, hey, I wish I could show you this trailer. It's so amazing. He goes, oh, I saw it. It was great. And the trailer is brutal. Like, there's a lot of violence
in it.
What
channel is it going to be on?
I don't know. Fox Chris is going to kill me. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Chris, where are you? I should interview that guy. He knows a lot more about horror and scary things. When we first got married, he was, like, way more into the scary movies than I was.
Yeah.
And he probably still is. He definitely still is. So I'm just like, it's not really my bag.
Yeah, it's not most people's bag.
It's not, which is why I want to ask you, like, how did this sort of come about, this fascination with horror?
Well, I have theories, one of which, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, that's why you like it. That's why you like Halloween, because your birthday is October 26th. So you associate October with your birthday and fun
celebrating
and stuff.
And
I think that might be part of it. And I certainly had my share of Halloween themed birthday parties when I was growing up. I have pictures and it was magical.
Channing's going to have a lot of Easter themed because her birthday's in April.
Fun.
So there will be a lot of bunnies and Easter-y, springtimey, you know, birthdays in her future.
Yes.
So.
And like, I don't know if this was the way when you were growing up, but Easter, my aunt always made a coconut cake shaped like a bunny rabbit.
Like a bunny. Oh, so cute. I saw those on Pinterest. And if I had half the skill that those Pinterest ladies have, I would make
one. That has a really good potential for a Pinterest fail.
Totally.
You know, like the bunny ears or a total.
Like just like a watered up bunny rabbit. Just like a blob with coconut on it.
Yeah. That'd be mine. But it would taste good. But I, you know, the best I can trace it to, I had that experience most kids have where you see stuff you shouldn't see way too early and it totally scars you, right? I mean, I think all had that experience of like seeing, I don't know what it was for you, but I know most people I know saw part of The Exorcist or, you know, for some people it was, I've heard older people talk about, I think even Stephen King maybe, being told they couldn't listen to like a radio show with their parents, but sitting outside the door and listening anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing it and then having nightmares and going like, why did I want to see that or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I certainly caught things like that before I should have and got really scared by them. But I think there are two camps of people who see that stuff and go like, oh God, I never want to feel that way. And people who see really scary stuff and it's like their pulse pounds and it's this experience. And then they go, can we go again?
Yeah.
And that's me. And also my mom had a huge passion for Halloween, the movie, John Carpenter's Halloween, which is my favorite movie. Mm-hmm. We would curl up on the couch with a blanket and watch it. I know.
It
sounds
horrified.
Crazy. And I have an older brother and he would watch too. And my mom would... It would be, it's hard to explain, but it was like watching something dangerous and scary, but being safe, knowing I was safe.
Yeah.
And having my mom go like, uh-oh, there he is. And
how old were you?
I don't know. I've asked my
were
mother
you like
this.
Five?
And she doesn't remember either. And but probably, you know, I mean, no older than 7 or 8 when this first happened. Yeah, probably younger.
Wow.
But I probably asked to watch it. And by the way, she had her limits. Like, that movie is not gory at all. And my mom would tell my brother, like, you know, he'd seen The Exorcist. And she was like, don't you show that to your sister. And of course he did.
Yeah, of course.
And then told me about how the devil was going to come through the window and, like, possess me and completely terrified me.
Oh, okay.
And let me come and watch Tales from the Crypt.
But
with
you
him.
Found there was something in you that enjoyed that thrill and that excitement.
And I should clarify that for me, I always gravitate toward spooky more than I do
slasher.
Gore. Yes. Okay. I love slasher films. Now, weirdly, that's like my favorite subgenre of horror. I know. It's crazy. Uh-huh. But my favorite, the reason I love Halloween so much is mostly all the like kid-oriented stuff. I love the Halloween specials.
What about like the supernatural element to Halloween? Like the witches and the evil
witches.
Side and all that stuff.
I don't...
Do you think there are witches? Do you believe
in
witches?
Oh, there are definitely witches. Okay. I love witches. I mean, but witches don't mean what most people think they mean. Witches today, like actual people who practice the Wicca religion, are people who believe in energies and being, and they do spells.
Like crystals and shit?
Yeah. Crystals, herbs, and it's all about good energy, nourishing your body, they really do believe, like the movie, did you ever see the movie The Craft?
No.
A lot of the stuff they talk about in that movie is 100% accurate.
I make crafts.
Yes. You're like, no, why am I watching witch movies? But they believe like any energy you put out, you get back times 3. So you don't want to put out bad energy. Like witches are actually like basically hippies.
Yeah.
Who so, love everyone.
Glinda the Good Witch versus the Wicked Witch of the West. Uh-huh. So you want to be with the Glendas who are putting out the good bubbles.
Yes.
The good energy.
Definitely. But I do love a good, like, hook-nosed witch with warts.
I don't know that I necessarily believe in all of that hoo-ha of crystals and, like, spells and whatnot. Please don't cast a spell on anybody.
I love that
who's
they
listening.
Believe in it, though.
Yeah.
Because it's not, like, they're not... It's not Satanism. It's like they're earthy and they believe in the earth and nature.
The healing powers of
plants
and
it's very
rocks. And,
hippie. Yeah. It's really just hippy dippy when you get down
to it. There
was
this massage parlor in Tulsa. And it was
I like this story.
I know.
Already.
Settle in. And it was like called... Something like not the golden eye. That sounds weird. I go in and it's all very, you know, patchouli-ish. There's lots of incense burning. And they have like this wooden tub that everybody's sort of sitting in, but, you know, only holds 2 people.
Yeah.
And there was a weird feeling there. And I remember asking the lady like, oh, you know, this is a really nice place. How long has this been open? And she's like, well, I prayed to the something, something. And I was like, the what?
Huh?
And then she tells me that she's a witch. And
I was about like, to say those are witches that you were with. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, great. Now I have to go to church. Now I have to pray and cleanse my damn self. No, but I just remember thinking this is very weird and spooky. And I have the heebie-jeebies. Amy Poehler says it best. Good for you, not for me.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to be a witch and you want to celebrate crystals and whatnot, good for you, but it's not for me.
And that's what and your sentiment that you're expressing is 100% of the reason why I can't understand all this opposition to gay marriage and all of the things, really, because I'm just wildly liberal. And it boggles.
Wildly.
And I grew up in the Bible Belt, so I know these people, but I don't understand the instinct to go, well, I believe this, so everyone else, you have to do what I say.
Right.
Like, that's what blows my mind is I go, like, you, okay, if you're spooked out by actual witches and all that stuff, and you go, like, that gives me bad vibes. I don't love that. Don't go to the Psychic Eye bookshop on Ventura Boulevard.
Right.
Or go there if you like it, because
it's
full of witches. Have you been there?
It's right by Real Pros, the casting director.
Yes.
So I went in there one time to look around. And
they've got holy water.
Some lady that worked there yelled at me because I accidentally bumped into her car in the parking spot.
Oh,
she got out
boy.
And freaked out, and then I was afraid she was a witch, and I was like, oh, Jesus.
She probably was.
I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, but it's just like, good for you, not for me. That's totally believe. I mean, I don't cast spells, but I think it's really fun, but it's not, I don't.
It's not your vibe.
It's still a lot of work. I actually looked into it, and there's, just out of curiosity, I listened to a podcast that was called A Witch's Primer.
Oh.
Which, not primer, but it's a primer. Primer. Right? Oh. And it was this, it's this very, like, he's very gay and very,
oh, it's
like,
a dude.
Little older. It's a guy. Oh, yes. Hashtag male witch. And he is talking about, like, all of the basics of witchcraft, and it's all this very hippy-dippy stuff. It has nothing to do with anti-anything. It all has to do with, like,
how
you know,
to, like, brew your potions. And
yeah, and, well, and in the beginning of it, he's talking about how you have, like, your toolkit, and you have to consecrate your, like, there's a dagger, there are, like, seven things that you have to have of your own that you consecrate, and you give yourself a witch name. It's all very make-believe, and it's very funny.
Oh, my God.
But then you can't, no one else can touch this thing, and you have a journal and you write things in it. And I was just like, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. So I just stopped listening to the podcast.
That sounds like a lot of work to be a witch.
Good
primer.
For you, not for me.
Good for you, not for me. I'm stealing that totally from Amy Poehler.
I love that. I'm going to start using it.
I just sort of feel like, yep, that sums up. Because I know I have a lot of different perspectives than most people in LA, probably. Or sure. Maybe not. I don't know. I run into a lot of people who are similar as me. But I also just, I don't know. We all have grown up in different ways and formed our opinions about life and had different experiences. And what's good for you may not necessarily be for me. But that doesn't mean I'm gonna hate on you because of it. I mean, in to your face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I will totally wait until you leave the room.
Yes. Or I just look at your Instagram photo and go, ugh. Which I'm sure a lot of people do with me, where I'm like, look at me, here's another picture of me covered in blood, and people are like, unfollow.
I'm sure they feel that way about my kids too. I mean, I post a lot of pictures of Chan, or at
she's
least
pretty cute though.
She is pretty cute. She's pretty great. I post a lot of pictures of her, and I know there's, you know, babies are not for everybody. I get it. I got it. Mommy, you know, talk is not for everybody. I get that too. But you know what? That's what I'm into, and I love it so much.
Yes.
So suck it up.
Yeah. That's something that, and I do want to get back to talking about splatter movies. However, let me back up.
You're very excited. I can't.
I love babies. Mm-hmm. I love smelling babies. I love playing with babies. I nannied for a while after I moved to LA. I'm great with kids. I grew up with a very young, my brother had a kid very young, so I had a nephew who I helped with a lot, and, but I don't really think, good for you, not for me. I don't really think I want children.
Like ever, or you just maybe not ready? Yeah.
I've learned, I'm old enough to understand never say never about anything, because I've changed my mind about things I never thought I would. So, however, I don't think it'll happen. But
I will say, Chris and I said that for a long time. We've never had kids.
I love that about you. I think that's so interesting how long you guys waited.
We waited a long time. And then it was just like, it's hard to describe, but it was like something changed in us both about the same time.
Yeah.
And we both were like, this sounds like we want to expand our family, and we want to have, I want to see what a little version of Chris would be like, or a little, version of me. And so that's why we jumped
in. And
I
think that's an important thing to remember as a human being, is that you just have to be open to wherever life is going to take you. You know, I mean, for example, when Alec and I first got back together and really knew how serious things were getting, we talked about we'll go back to North Carolina and get married where, maybe in Chapel Hill where we met. And it's this whole,
romantic.
And then a few years later, the time rolled around to actually start talking about where we were going to get married. And we realized LA is home now.
Yeah.
And we'd changed our minds, and it
hurts. Isn't that funny how LA suddenly becomes your home?
Weird.
And once you've sort of been here long enough, where we've been here now, it's 10 years. This week, as a matter of fact, 10 years.
Wow.
And we've lived here longer as a married couple than we ever did anywhere else.
That's an important threshold to go
totally
over.
Totally is.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Now I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Should we just move somewhere else and try again?
I love LA.
Yeah, but we love it. This is home for us.
But so with all that said, I don't foresee children. Alec and I both, it's just not something that interests us, at least not right now or for the foreseeable future. However, I have spent... I am completely obsessed with... There are a few mommy bloggers I've been following for years.
Really?
Heather.
Like who?
Years. One of whom, and she's kind of slowed down, and now she posts mostly on Instagram, but there's a girl who had... Her name is Melissa. She had a blog called Dear Baby, and now it's called... Brave in Love because neither of her kids are babies anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But she's also on Instagram and she just wrote a lot for years and years.
Yeah.
And I obsessively followed that. I have watched, I cannot tell you how many hours of babies coming out of vajays online. So many birthing videos. I have read everything there is to read about childbirth.
Like, and horror and gore, then birthing videos are about as,
right?
About as right? deep as it can get.
But I am, despite the fact that that's not something I want for myself, I am completely obsessed with and fascinated by that aspect of the female experience. And very, like, militantly defensive of women's their capability of doing all of that and still mm-hmm. pursuing the other things they want sure. to pursue and how upset at all the roadblocks that there are.
Yeah.
And you talked about, I've also obsessively listened to every episode of your podcast before I come on.
Yay.
But, like, you know, you've talked about how hard it is, you know, suddenly mm-hmm. it's like you've got a kid and you still want to go on your auditions and then you're right. like, what? It's so frustrating to me that it our country makes it so difficult.
Yeah, it is frustrating. I find, though, that at least in this industry, has been a lot more welcoming.
That's great. And surprising to me.
Yeah, I honestly, I've only had one casting director that kind of made an offhanded comment when one time I had to take Channing with me to an audition. I didn't want to.
Right.
But my babysitter canceled at the last second. I didn't have a choice.
Right. So what are you going to do? No show to your audition?
Yeah,
which or are you going to bring
you can't
your
do because right. your agent gets pissed. The casting yeah. director gets pissed. You just can't do that. So I had to take her with me. And she's so great in the audition. She just sits down in her chair and she watches and then she says bye to everybody.
Oh.
And I just had one casting director that was like, you brought your kid? And I was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. You know, she'll be really quiet. You know, she'll just hang out over here if that's okay. And she's like, this seems to be happening a lot. Everybody's just bringing their kids to auditions these days. And I was like, is it happening a lot? Because I mean, I don't, this is the only time I've ever
you're like
it.
This is my yeah, my like, day today is that yeah. I couldn't get a sitter, sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not responsible for all the other moms.
And then I think she realized that she was kind of being a little rude.
Good.
So she,
that sounds like a personal vendetta on her part.
Yeah, it told, I think it had happened a few times and I think she was like, all these women are bringing their kids in, what's going on with this, it seems to be a trend. That's what she said. And I was like, well, maybe it's because we're all tired of trying to hide our kids away
yes.
in an industry that's supposed to be so accepting of arts and family and like this
the human
welcoming
experience in
yeah,
general, which
exactly.
of which that is a huge part.
Everybody's so like on this, you know, feminism and women empowerment is on this big upswing right now. And Hollywood seems to be sort of leading the charge with it. So you would think that in this industry then that most people would be accepting. And honestly, except for that one little incident, everybody has been.
That warms my heart.
Yeah, it's
I
been
love
really great.
That.
Everybody's so excited to see her. So when that happened, though, like I had another audition to take her with and the casting director was like, hi, nice to meet you. What's your name? And like was just so excited to see her. And that just, that to me as a mom, like, it made me have a better audition.
Absolutely.
It made me feel more confident in what I was doing. And I don't know that she'll ever, you know that her being so sweet to my daughter did that for me.
Right.
So it just, it makes a big difference. And it's when you're trying to live your dream and you're trying to also be a good mom at the same time, it's tough and it's, but it's fun. It's a challenge I'm really enjoying, as you can tell.
Yes. Yes. And she's adorable.
Thank you.
I think that's what I find interesting about, people from, and I'm sure you know these, I don't know how many people you keep in touch with from back home, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you know, I have no one I grew up with quite understands the, what it kind of takes
the
to make things
out
happen
here.
Out
yeah.
here. And, but they do want to know when's the next time they're going to see you on TV.
Yeah.
And they want to know why they haven't seen you in a movie, you know, and they go, well, when are you going to, you live in the life of the rich and famous out there. And it's like, yeah, but they don't see
the stuff that you have to do
yes,
behind the
like,
scenes.
And my Instagram and my Facebook page are not reality. That's,
right.
That's my highlight reel.
For anybody, yeah.
And they don't see, you know, me crying all the way home from work because I'm tired and mm-hmm. I've worked 7 days in a row and they don't see. And like, you know, we you do it because you love it and it's fine.
Right.
But yeah, those they're all in and happy to go like, oh great, I can't wait to watch you on this TV show. And they don't see that stuff where you're, yeah, like struggling to find someone to sit for your kid, yeah, while you go, and then you can't, and then you have to take her, and then you, and you're doing all this for a job that might not happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, but, you know, who's the, whatever. I guess it's just a rant.
It is a rant. It is, but it's like, I don't know. It's one that I think a lot of moms, part of the reason why, and I know if you've listened to the show, you've heard me say this, that I wanted to do this was to sort of have an outlet for myself to talk about what it's like to try to balance being a mom and this passion that I have for this industry and for acting and whatnot. So, and it's also a really great excuse to have people come over to my house and hang out.
Yes, and your house is so cute. I told you, I drove up and I was like, what? Are they kidding with this perfect little house?
I'm super rich.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. No.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you. If you have a question.
No, please. I was going to ask you about the podcast, about Boys and Ghouls. I want to talk about Carry On, too, but I want to talk about Boys and Ghouls specifically. Yes. Because... I don't know if I said, well, I'll probably say it in my intro how we know each other. We're tour guides at Universal Studios, and one of the other people that we know that works there is Marshall.
Yeah, Marshall Hicks.
Hey, hey, ho, ho.
Hey.
Marshall has such a unique wealth of information in his head. He's like a walking encyclopedia for, like, life.
Uh-huh.
For the world.
Yes.
And it's so great that you guys do this podcast together. How did that begin? Because I would not have put you two together.
No. Which is why I think it works, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, I must preface all of these funny things I'm going to say about Marshall with, he is standing up with me at my wedding.
Aww.
I love him that much.
That's so great.
Yes. He's in my wedding party because
what a sweetheart.
He's a man made. As it were, a man of honor, because, you know, he means a lot to me, and there, I could go into that. But he's one of my best friends, and it is kind of an unlikely
pairing
somehow.
Yeah.
But when I was working at Universal, we struck up. We've talked about this, like, maybe he remembers the exact moment, but somehow we got to talk about horror movies. Maybe there was something on in the green room we were watching. I don't know. But we got into a conversation about it. Oh, you like horror movies? I like horror movies. We would talk about it at work. And then at some point, we started hanging out outside of work. We'd get together and watch a scary movie. He'd show me something I'd never seen, some deep cut from the 80s, and then spew encyclopedic knowledge at me. And I loved that. And then I think it was his idea. He was like, hey, you know, we already get together and watch these things and talk about them. Should we just, like, put it on tape? Like, should we do a podcast? And I loved that idea.
Yeah. Because you guys started this way back before the recent upswing in podcasting. Like, right now, it's just, like, all the rage. Everybody's doing it. Myself included.
Yeah, me too.
It's all, it's all the rage. But you guys have been doing it for a couple years,
right? It's been 3 years and some change.
That's a long time in podcast land.
It is. Although we don't release, like, weekly like you do. It's once a month. And the editing that Marshall does is pretty labor intensive, which is why we release. So it's on the 13th of every month. We don't try to pump more out. We focus on quality versus quantity simply because he likes to edit in clips and stuff.
He does. Yeah. He's a lot of sound effects. Because I was starting this, I actually messaged him and I was like, hey, because I had a feeling he was probably doing the editing and stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, how are you getting away with, like, all these sound clips and all that? And he's like, well, we don't really make any money off of it, so that's how we do it. And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yes.
Because I want to play, I would love to be playing, like, gangster rap.
Yeah.
And, like,
of course.
The hippity hop.
Filthy.
Oh, my God. 100%. Because that's my thing. Yeah. I love it. I love Easy. So, I was like, how can I get away with that? But I can't.
Yeah. That's how we get away with it. We don't monetize.
Yeah.
It's just for fun. I mean, that would be nice to make money off of it. But so we started, you know, picking different topics. And we've never run out of topics in all this time. And we have somewhere close to 40 episodes.
It's crazy.
We're not there yet. And we just really, and we spend time together outside of that as well. But, you know, it's a way for me to feel, I loved college. It's a way for me to feel creatively and analytically stimulated. Like, I get to watch a couple of different movies and compare and contrast and read something about them. And then, you know, figure out how to talk about it contextually. Ooh, you know, witch trials. How does that relate to this?
Analyze it, like, really dig into a topic that you're passionate about.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I love doing that.
Are you guys doing something special for your Halloween episode?
We always do.
Yeah.
This year, we are doing it. Our Halloween episode is going to be about haunts, like home haunts.
Okay.
Mostly home haunts. I think we'll talk about bigger stuff as well, but haunted houses.
Yeah.
We've done, our very first Halloween episode was on the John Carpenter Halloween movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did an episode about Halloween specials. So your It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Oh, nice.
Your really obscure things like Paul Lynde had a Halloween special in the 70s. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did, a history. Last year was our history of Halloween. So we went back to ancient Celtic Ireland and did all that. Getting my life to that was a lot of fun. So this year we're doing haunted houses. But one of the other things one of the other episodes I wanted to recommend to your listeners and to you that we did, actually it's kind of a two-parter. We did an episode on Something Wicked This Way Comes, which is a Disney movie based on a Ray Bradbury book. That is totally a kid's movie, but also pretty scary.
Yeah.
Great. And then we had another episode called Still Scary that I was re-listening to actually on my way over here to try to remember what we talked about, which is we were talking about stuff that scared us as kids, but also horror-themed, spooky-themed things that are kid-appropriate because... I'm so passionate about kids getting into... When I see a little kid dressed in a Halloween costume, like, in April, I'm like, you get it. You get it. You have fun, Batman. It makes me really happy, especially the spookier it is, the better.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about... So if you want to listen to that episode and you're listening to this, go listen to our Boys and Ghouls episode, Still Scary, because I think it's really fun, and we talk about... I think we talk about The Worst Witch, which is... TV movie that came out in 1980. Oh gosh, I don't know when. The late 80s, I think.
Yeah, I remember.
Feruja Balk is. Mm-hmm. It's basically Harry Potter, but it's all girls.
Yeah.
Tim Curry plays like the head warlock, and he sings the song.
I vaguely remember watching that movie. Yeah. I was not allowed to watch a lot of stuff like that growing up. I went to a very religious private school, and my mom was very religious, so I never really got to watch a lot of stuff like that. So, I have been trying actually for a few weeks now to get Robin Lively to come on the show.
Why does that sound familiar?
She was in Teen Witch.
Wait.
Yes.
Is she the lead?
Yes. I've been. I know.
I wanna be the most popular girl. Yes. Isn't that? I grew up obsessed, completely obsessed
I've
with
I've been
that
trying forever because she's also a mom and she also lives like three blocks from me in Burbank.
Oh my God.
Like,
you absolutely have to
so
have
I'm
her.
So I'm like, I'm trying to get her on the show, but she's not responding to any of my requests. So if anybody knows Robin Lively or is listening to her, hey, come on.
That's amazing.
Come on
my
show.
That's
another
great
we're like
one.
Neighbors, basically. But yeah, I would love to have her on because also I just. Want to see the look of joy on Jen Blushy's face.
Oh, sure.
Jen Blushy is such a huge fan of that movie.
It's a great movie.
It's selfishly, Jen is a friend of ours, and I just sort of selfishly would like to be like, Jen, come and look, and have her like sit in and listen.
Jen is
I think
so sweet. She does my hair, you know.
Does she really?
The she's last great. Few times, yeah, she this color. This is all Jen Blushy.
Jen Blushy, makeup and hair. She's very fabulous.
She's great.
Stylist.
She's really fun.
But yeah, I would love to have Robin Lively.
Oh, that's amazing.
On.
I love Teen Witch. Yes.
Yes.
But
that
yeah.
was one of those movies that was like about a witch, but it wasn't like scary. It was very sweet. Like Hocus Pocus to me was not scary, but it's really sweet, fun movie.
And that's why, part of what we talk about on our episode about that, about kids and horror is like, you know, no, this is more like spooky themed things, but they're not scary per se.
Yeah.
Like, Frank and Weenie, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of the feature that just came out.
I remember thinking it was just okay.
But the original, like, 30-minute live-action thing that Tim Burton did back in the 80s is really fun.
Do you like Tim Burton stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, there's some clunkers for me, but, I mean, I was just rewatching Beetlejuice, and it gets better every time.
See, Beetlejuice to me isn't... I don't know. I guess some people could think of it as a scary movie. I guess it had scary elements, but to me, it was a comedy.
Absolutely. And that's part of, like, what, you know, people go, like, why do you like all that gross stuff? And it's, for me, yes, I do watch those films to keep myself educated. I've seen all of the Saw films. I watched them all for a Boys and Ghouls episode, and I had nightmares. But for me, things like Beetlejuice that are not particularly scary, but there are spooky characters and the themes and the look of it is
such
spooky.
A great idea.
I love that.
Yeah, it was such an original idea too.
Alec and I were talking about that when we were rewatching it recently. He was like, "Gosh, it's such a genius idea." And he was like coming on the heels of, because when did Beetlejuice come out? 88, 89?
Yeah.
They're coming on the heels of like Ghostbusters, which had been hugely popular. Yeah. And I guess Ghostbusters 2, I don't remember if that had come out at that point.
I think
but
so.
Uh-huh. Ghosty stuff was a thing at the time.
Yep.
And then, you know, you can imagine the concept, the thought dad. Process must have, no. yeah, gone something like, huh, what if, you know, the log line is like, what if the ghosts are trying to get rid of the people?
Yeah.
And then how do we craft that story? And then it goes from there. But it is really a simple and genius idea.
Really,
that
really
like,
smart.
I wish I thought of that.
And like visually just so fun. Like there's never been a more classic scene than that. The Sheik Sonora at the end.
Oh my
but
gosh.
Then the dinner table
yes.
scene where they're all dancing.
I was talking to Alec about that. And I was like, what a fun thing as an actor to play. Which is
so fun.
You're dancing. Your body is dancing. But you're scared because you're out of control of your body, but you're also having a great time.
Right?
And they're all playing that really well, and each of those actors does it in their own way, and like some of them are completely horrified by it. And to watch someone, their face not matching their body, like their body's doing a funny dance and
yeah.
their face is completely, it's genius.
So smart.
It just gets better every time.
Well, I like the Halloween event itself. I love getting dressed up. That's, I guess,
yes.
the actor side of me.
Yes.
I love now that I have a little person that I can dress up and, like, make her wear whatever. Although this
yes.
year she's kind of given us an idea of what she wants to wear for Halloween. But I cannot reveal.
I love that you're being secretive about it.
I don't want everyone to steal our idea.
That makes me so happy.
It's really not. It's really more something that's for her.
Sure.
She's got some passions right now as a two-year-old.
Great.
So we're going to kind of go with those.
Have you taken her to Boney Island?
What is that?
Oh,
my gosh. Sound familiar?
You must know Boney Island. Do you know about Boney Island?
No.
It is a front yard haunt. Oh, my God. You have to take her this year. I'm going to pressure you because it's magic.
Is it like a walkthrough?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I have heard of that. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I have heard of that.
You simply must go. It's in Burbank.
Okay.
And you can Google it and find out the address very easily. But the guy who owns the house, it's like a corner lot. So he's got a really
yes.
cool big
yeah.
yard and a giant tree house that you can pay a little extra, I think, and actually go in. I've never done it. But it's not a haunted house. It's just a front yard display.
Right, right.
But it is so amazing. The guy who lives there, I believe, used to work on The Simpsons for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So the resources, the creativity, you know, it's all there. But Boney Island, the title of that is based on Coney Island. It's
yeah,
a play on
yeah.
that, those words. So the idea is that it's like a carnival kind of, but it's all run by skeletons.
Yeah.
And they're all very, they all have very funny faces. And there are different things you can go to. Like there's a skeleton that's like a talking skeleton that will talk to you. Of course, there's a guy somewhere a ways away with a microphone watching the people, but you feel like you're talking to the skeleton.
Cute.
There's parts where they dance. There's a water show with cauldrons to, so I forget the name of the classical music piece like green goo comes out of them. It's totally family oriented and a completely Halloween spectacular.
I love it.
I love watching kids when I'm there because they're all just like, whoa, how's he doing that? There's
I think
like
she would love it.
Silly
yeah.
display of one skeleton walking over hot coals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a running thing where it's like on strings and he's walking and you can just hear him going, ooh, ah, ah. And like, you know, his feet are coming up. Oh my gosh.
So it's so silly and
hard
fun.
To explain. Until
we'll
you
have to
see
go.
It, but it's
yeah.
pure silly
I think
family
I've seen
fun.
News reports about it.
You
before.
Probably have. They've been doing it for years, and it's so much fun.
Well, definitely, as she's getting older, she's sort of understanding things like that more. Like,
yeah.
this year's Christmas, I think it's going to be really great because she's finally going to be like, ah, I get
she
it.
She knows what's coming.
Yeah.
You can talk to her about it.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what's
going
to happen?
She's still going to hate Santa, I think, no matter what. That poor guy.
Santa is a big
gonna be a while
personality
before.
With a big beard and
mm-hmm.
it can be scary.
Yeah, it's gonna be a while before she embraces that guy, but we'll get there. So I want to talk to you about your other podcast because
uh-huh.
you have two. You
mm-hmm.
have Boys and Ghouls
yeah.
with Marshall Hicks.
Yeah.
And then you have Carry On.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why I forgot about that, but when it somehow popped up in my Instagram feed or something and I was like, oh my God, that's right.
Yeah.
All about Sex and the City.
Yes. You 100%
I'm so mad
are invited
be on
to
that
come
show.
Why aren't you going to be on that show?
No. I mean, like, the actual show.
Oh, to
show.
Be on the show.
Yeah, I'm
don't
so
get me
sad
started.
I will never, ever get to be on Sex and the City.
Don't get me started. There was, we were laughing about it a few episodes ago. My friend, I think my friend Daniel pointed out that we were looking at this guest star on the show, and she was very good. Mm-hmm. And her like one credit was Sex and the City. And then it was like the little IMDb description was like, you know, her name, Heather Brooker, was is known for her work on Sex and the City. And we were like, wow, if that was my only thing I was known for, I'd be fine.
Winning at life.
I'd be just fine. Like, but yeah, we are the one and only somehow Sex and the City
that
podcast.
That surprises me.
Which, I mean, when you think about the fact that the show went off the air like 11 years ago, yeah. It's like, oh, okay, well, sure. But we, you know, but there's been the movies.
But also, I feel like anybody now creates a podcast about anything. It's like, oh, I'm going to talk about my shoe. So yeah. I'm going to create the shoe podcast.
And sometimes the shoe podcast is very popular.
It's doing well. I know. Yeah. What is that about? I don't know. People are creating podcasts now out of the dumbest, most banal things. And that have been, there's like a million other podcasts and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. It's like everybody has access to a mic. And recording equipment, it's super easy to do it. Yeah. So, but
I think
we do it pretty well. You do.
So what we started with season one, episode one. We watched the pilot. So the format is, I would love for you, with a kid, I know it's tough, but, you know, I would love for when we get to the Miranda pregnancy baby stuff to have you on just to talk about being a mom and how her struggle, whatever. Sure. But also just because you're funny, more importantly.
Mostly.
Because what we do is we have our guests come on, they come over to our apartment, we watch whatever episode we're on mm-hmm. with them, and then as soon as we're done watching the episode together and having a glass of wine, we pour another glass of wine. And then we watch, then we sit down and just talk about the episode. And generally how that goes is we'll talk about the things that happen in it, of course. We talk about what the ladies are wearing, if it's particularly ridiculous or great. And we talk about, a lot of it centers around how would this have gone down differently in 2015 versus this came out in 1999. You know, what would this have been like? Would this have been a text conversation instead? You
know, that's one thing like when I'm rewatching them, I'm like, why are they not texting each other?
I know.
And then I remember, because this came out like 1,000 years ago.
And we talk about that. And we also talk about, Alec usually steers it towards the issues that are coming up in each episode as a launch pad for talking about our own experiences and our lives mm-hmm. and dating and marriage and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think it makes for a really fun combination.
It's totally
of, like,
a fun show.
We're super fans of the show as well, and we know every episode inside and out. So it's fun to have an excuse to watch
them
and talk about
On E, I'll just watch it. Yep. Like, I will. That's one of those shows where I'm just like, sweet, Sex and City Marathon.
Sorry.
I know what I'm doing today.
I don't have anything else going on.
Yeah.
Not
even though
anymore.
I have them on DVD and I know I can get them, like, I don't know if you can get them on demand or not, actually. But I'll just sit and watch it.
But you know what's almost the best thing about watching them on E is seeing, if you know the episodes really well, is watching what they have to
what
do
they, yeah,
to
what
cut.
They cut it out.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, God. The Funky Spunk scene is my favorite. The scene after the coffee shop scene when she's telling the girls about it is like,
what
I don't know, 10 seconds long, and it's like a 4-minute scene,
but
they can't show any of it.
But what word does she use? Because they bleep out her, where she doesn't say spunk.
She doesn't. I don't remember, which
they
is terrible.
Out something else. They use something else where she's like, his.
It's embarrassing.
His stuff. I think she says.
It's probably
his stuff.
His stuff
is funky. And I'm like, his stuff.
Yeah. It makes me wonder. My mother to this day, I'm almost positive, has never seen an unedited version of an episode of Sex and the City. She's only ever seen it on E. And I'm like, oh my God, the stuff. Like, it's so sanitized.
You got to watch the OG. You got to watch the original.
Yeah, it's so great.
So since you have two podcasts, obviously you like the podcast medium.
I love it.
Why is it, do you think it's so popularly? Like, what do you think is the draw there?
Well, we live on a different planet that is the greater Los Angeles area, where all of us are in our cars all the time. So I don't know if that's true for everyone everywhere, but I know for me, I got turned on to podcasts, and I'm also an avid listener of podcasts. Yeah. I have two of them, but I also listen to them all day long. And I think a lot of that is because we're so isolated in our cars a lot. I know I am. Mm-hmm. And it's the perfect thing. You don't have to be bored or angry in your car. You're accomplishing something, which is listening to something great.
Right.
For me, I guess that's part of it. And I don't know if that's true for people elsewhere, but I think there's just something. The medium is, it makes people feel really accessible.
Yeah.
I like it because you have to use your imagination to picture what you're seeing, or especially if it's storytelling.
Right.
But, you know, I think with TV production and film production, a lot of stuff has gotten so expensive to do that now you've got these little gems here that are podcasts that are really generally inexpensive to produce unless you're doing something like Serial.
Yeah.
And now we have these gifts, like Alec Baldwin has a podcast. Have you listened to his podcast?
No. It's
called Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin.
That's amazing.
And he interviews people. He did an episode with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing. It's so good. And he gets these A-listers quite often. And sometimes it's policymakers. Right, sometimes it's actors. Sometimes it's musicians. But because he's Alec Baldwin and they're he's like A-list, they just talk to him.
Yeah.
Like he's, you know, and it's so accessible. And it's free. And it's right there. And I think we also just, nobody has any money right now. So it's so nice to have
something
free
that's
thing.
Free. Yeah, I think there's going to come a time when someone is going to start making people pay for a podcast because they're realizing, businesses are going to start realizing that there's money to be made.
Yeah.
And nothing is free for long, you know, and it's such a shame. Somehow, you know, I don't know how they could, though, because like I put mine on my website as well. Yeah. And unless somebody makes me, you know, I mean, we pay for our media hosting services, obviously, but like unless somebody makes me pay to put information out there, I don't know how they could do that. But I would be curious to see how in the next 10 years, whether it's going to sort of fade away and kind of be this fad that's happening right now, or if podcasting is going to like grow even more. Like I'm such a competitive person, though, that every time I see a podcast come, since I started my podcast, there's like at least a dozen more that have popped up with the name Motherhood in it. Like, and they'll be like side by side in the kids and family section or, you know, whatever. So, like, one podcast even, like, almost word for word, like, wrote what I wrote in my description. And I was like, hey.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, wait a minute.
I have a friend who is a fitness blogger. Mm-hmm. She just started almost a year ago. And her she goes to different classes in fitness classes almost every day of the week in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes about it on her blog. And she has an Instagram account. And she's got, like, 3,000 followers now.
Mm-hmm.
They're very dedicated followers.
Mm-hmm.
She's but she's seen people who are 100% literally word for word copying her and making. So, and
it happens.
And unfortunately, the mommy blogger / motherhood genre of entertainment is, there is a lot of money
there
to be made.
Yeah.
And so people want to piggyback when they see someone doing something well.
Sure.
The other thing, and I think you do it well, like I think there are people who jump into this kind of thing without doing their research.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed is when I listen to some of these other shows, they just don't sound
good.
I'm totally podcast banging on someone right now, but they just, some of them don't sound good. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you recording this on your cell phone?
Right. And the thing is, it's yes, you do have to invest a little money, but it's not that expensive. Get a good microphone. You don't have to spend more than $100 if you really can't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just pay attention and do your research. And like you've done great research on your guests before they come on. Like I just think it's yes, those copycats are going to crop up, but if you're putting out great work, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
But the other thing I've noticed about monetizing is that there are podcasts that I'll listen to for months and months, and good or bad, when they take off and become very popular, they will start getting they will have to start collecting money to help pay for it because of the hosting fees.
Yes.
Like there's a true crime one I listen to called The Sword and Scale that's okay some of the time and great some of the time, but it got so popular that the guy's like, this has been my full-time job in addition to my full-time job for about a year.
Mm.
If I'm going to keep doing this and pouring the amount of time that I'm pouring into it, you know, I really need your help, especially if you're all really listening. Can you just toss a dollar? And like when I hear that, it's terrible. But my first response is like, oh, damn it. But I also really believe in people people making money, living their truth and their lives and their like creative pursuits. Like I want you to make a lot of money on this podcast because like
me too.
But you know, it's legitimately a business and you're providing entertainment.
It does take up
advice.
A lot of time with all the social media stuff and the tweeting everybody and the Instagramming. And also too, my thing is, and I told Chris this, is when I stop having fun with it, then I'm going to just wrap it up and call it a day. Because I am having a lot of fun. I get to talk to really cool and interesting people. I get to take silly pictures and videos of myself and my daughter and like I'm just having fun with it. But when it stops becoming fun and I feel like it starts becoming like, oh my God, I have to do the podcast or whatever, then I might need to reevaluate some things. But we're far from that.
Even if you do reach that point a year from now or whenever, it won't have been a wasted pursuit because you've then captured a moment in time.
Yeah.
It's permanent. It lives on. You've got these, you know, these great conversations with people that you can play for Channing when she gets older and go like, this is the... You inspired mommy to sort of like wanna talk to people about this time in their lives. Yeah, and get, you
I really
know,
love that. That's such great. A sweet sentiment. I hadn't even thought about that, but that's a really lovely sentiment.
I know that personally. I think about my mom now, and I think I wish the older I get, and the more I think about who my mom was when she was my age now, and those kinds of things. I go like, God, what I wouldn't give to get in a time machine and go back and just like. Watch her be herself at 30 or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is the closest thing that, I mean, she'll kind of have that. Yeah. Like she'll go like, oh, this is what my mom was doing. And she's got hours of you just talking to people and being funny and
talking
smart
about her. And she will even get to see me like have one or two lines on TV shows.
Yes. No, really. That's awesome.
Every
too.
Once in a while be like, hey, there's my mom. Oh, there. Nope. She's gone.
That's pretty fun. That's pretty fun too.
I want to talk to you really quick about your viral craziness with your proposal video and your engagement photos. So for those of you who don't know, stop listening. What's wrong with you? You should know. You should have Googled this shit already. No. For those of you who don't know, Kat's proposal video involved, I don't want to say, I guess, a recreation of Halloween.
Kind of.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So this was almost a year ago at this point. People keep it's like I've gotten engaged all over again because when everything went viral, people were like, oh my God, congratulations.
Well, because it seemed like it just happened.
It did. But this was back in October of last year. The day before my birthday, two of my very best friends, Matthew and Daniel, told me, dressed like Laurie Strode, which is Jamie Lee Curtis's character from Halloween, which of course they know that I have like high-waisted jeans and the shirt and I've dressed like her for Halloween before. So they were like, put on your Laurie Strode costume. We're going to kidnap you and do stuff. And I was like, oh, I know what they're going to do. It's the day before my birthday. They're going to take me to go like take pictures in Pasadena and in Hollywood, the filming locations, which I've visited before, but I was like, what a fun thing. Like it's October. Let's go do that. And, Alec had been very secretive about some stuff leading up to that time, but I had no idea it had anything to do with a proposal because it was my leading up to my birthday.
So you thought he was planning something for your birthday.
That's what he told me.
Yeah.
Hey, now, your birthday's coming. And it was my 30th birthday. So there was a reason for it to be an extra special
birthday.
That's
pretty smart, yeah.
So total red herring. So my friends pick me up. I'm like, birthday. I leave Alec at my apartment with our friend Ricky. They're going to go shopping for something for the apartment. Ricky is like his side boyfriend. and it's fine. Our apartment looks great because Ricky's helping. Leave them. We go to Hollywood, look at the filming locations, take pictures. I'm like, I knew they were going to do this. It's magic. And then we go over to South Pasadena, where the original filming locations for some of the other places are, including the Myers house. And so my friends are walking me around and they say, we're going to go up to this corner where Jamie Lee Curtis waits with a pumpkin. You know, there's a scene where her friend Annie picks her up and I'm like, oh my God, amazing. I've never been to that corner before. So we go see that corner and then we're walking around. He's like, okay, I'm going to take you to the next place. And completely unsuspecting, we start down a block of a beautiful, it's almost twilight.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
You guys should watch the video if you get a chance. Go look it up
video.
It's on YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah. You just have to YouTube search Halloween proposal.
Halloween proposal.
Right. And the cue for Alec to come out was we were chanting this chant from the movie that the cheerleaders
I can't
chant.
Believe you did
my
all
friends
of that.
Are so it's but and the thing is people commented later on the YouTube video they were like this is totally staged. I'm like yeah obviously like not me but the rest of them staged
right
because it's a proposal and they filmed it.
People on the internet are stupid.
They're stupid. But and then my fiance popped out dressed as Michael Myers and scared me. Like I was frightened.
Yeah.
I scream. And then he goes back around the corner and I keep walking and he's down on one knee. And so but
love
the
it.
Way it all went viral is that back in July of this year, Alec told me he didn't want to do I didn't really want to do something conventional for engagement photos. I was like, whatever. And he goes, can we do Back to the Future, like a photo, like a recreation? And I was like, for our engagement photo? He was like, yes. And I said, okay.
Okay.
And so we did. We spent money and time and put together the costumes. And
where did you shoot it? Like in a studio?
Ricky, our friend Ricky's studio.
Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. And did he do like all of the touch up and the like the glow and the lighting? Because everything about that shot, like the glow on the cheeks and the hand and the watch and the car and all of that matched perfectly.
Well, and he's a great photographer. I should say our friend Ricky Middlesworth. And you should follow him on Instagram. He's amazing. But he's just smart and good at his job. And he does, he did all the lighting really well and photographed a miniature DeLorean that we bought and, you know, lit that perfectly and then put it all together. And I don't know, it's witchcraft. I actually think Ricky's a witch.
He's the witch.
I don't know how he does it. But so I put that photo online because I thought, quite frankly,
it's awesome.
It's awesome. And I was having kind of a sad day. And I was like, I'm going to put this online and strangers will tell me how cool it is and I'll feel better about myself. And they did, and then it went viral.
Yeah. So wait, you had not posted it before then, or did you just get them and you were like, I'm going to share it?
We had taken it, and we were going to use it for our wedding invitations. And then we did use it for our wedding invitations. But so we were just kind of sitting on this image that we weren't sure when we were going to put it online, but it was for our wedding invitations.
Because the response when you did finally put it online was absolutely crazy bananas.
Yes.
Like, you were on morning shows.
Yeah.
You were on, like, BuzzFeed did articles about you, E! Online,
BuzzFeed had us into their offices. We did an interview with them.
Yeah, it was absolutely
Good Morning
crazy.
America. Well, and then, so what happened is the picture started going viral. Then someone asked on Reddit about my proposal, like, what was that like? And I posted a link to the private YouTube video.
So you had not made that video public?
It was totally private for 10 months.
Oh, wow.
Because we'd shared it with friends and family. But
why didn't you want to share it initially?
I ugly cried in it. And also, which is fine, but when it first happened, watching it was so raw for me.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. It was just very personal. It felt like a very personal moment.
Yeah, totally.
That I didn't feel like having people I didn't really know and care about see it, just because I was like, no, this is our thing. But after almost a year, once people started asking, I was like, all right, I'll post this link because it's fun and I'm over feeling
that initial
awkward about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that took off and went way more viral than the proposal photo.
Oh,
the
did
engagement
it?
Photo. Yes. So like really what the video took hold and everyone, maybe it was the time of year, I don't know, but people were like, everyone and their mothers were sharing it and going like, I mean, I watched women share it on Facebook and go, Larry, if you ever do anything like this to me, I'll kill you. You know, just like.
You could hear them typing in that accent.
I could hear them typing in that accent. That's just the way it is. And it was fun. It was fun. For like 3 days. It was kind of it was the top trending item on
Facebook. It seemed like it was more
Facebook.
Than 3 days. Like, it seemed like it was like weeks of like, oh, and now I'm on Good Morning America. Oh, and now I'm in the BuzzFeed office.
I kind of count like when crazy. When it stopped trending on Facebook, I was like, well, it's over. And then we were on Good Morning America. But that was as part of a bigger segment.
Yeah, it was more about like unusual proposals and stuff like that. Also, they didn't have you on nearly as enough. You only said like one line and I was like, excuse me.
And I'm almost positive the only reason they even interviewed us is because we live in LA and all the other people had these engagement photos, but they were probably from all over the country. And we were the only ones who lived close enough to have for them to send a camera guy to our apartment.
But also your engagement photo was pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah,
like,
it
was
cool.
Really phenomenal.
Yeah.
What a great way to like start off the rest of your life with someone with such great memories. Do you think that you have like the expectation now to follow up with something equally spectacular for your wedding?
I did when everything was viral, but now the internet moved on pretty quickly.
They do.
Yeah. It went on for much longer than I thought it would.
Yeah.
Like, one day would have been fun, but like 3 days and then a couple weeks later, I mean, we're still, we just got an email from The Knot yesterday, the website, theknot.com.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a wedding website. Cause they're doing a piece on something, a proposal or engagement photo or something. And then, so, you know, it's still kind of here and there. But during all of that, in every interview, people were like, so what should we expect for the wedding? I'm like, I don't know. What are you going to pay for?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like, that's kind of my, I didn't say that, but in my mind, I'm like, okay, yeah, what do you, I appreciate that they, think that they should expect something big and fun, but it's like the proposal Alec pulled together with our friends and it costs It cost nothing for them. The engagement photo, you know, we pulled together and we had the help of an amazing photographer, but it's kind of like, well, you know, I can't really get a DeLorean-shaped helicopter to, like, fly onto the roof and pick us up after our wedding. Like, I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
Do they nor make does anyone else.
DeLorean-shaped helicopters?
They should.
Somebody should.
But
they make hoverboards now, so someone do. Get on that.
And the lace-up, the self-lacing shoes are coming out later this year, I think.
Crazy.
Anyway, I don't, you know, I think our wedding's going to be pretty... Pretty, it'll be very special to us.
Of course,
for sure.
It should be.
But
yeah.
I think
you can't
I think
get
people
married
overestimate
for the internet.
I think people overestimate the value, the tangible value of having something go viral. It really doesn't mean anything other than we have great fun articles to print and hang in our house now.
See, that's what I've always wondered, is because there's a big push right now in entertainment for actors and actresses to find a way to make a name for themselves online, whether it's on Twitter, Instagram, Vine, whatever, because producers and directors are going to these Vine stars and giving them jobs in television that should go to well-trained actors and actresses.
Such mixed feelings about
so
all that.
So whenever somebody goes viral for a hot second or has, like, you know, any kind of street cred and, like, cred on the internet, I'm always curious to know what that actually translates to into their career. Mm-hmm. Was your agent and manager getting calls immediately to book you on TV shows?
No. I was in the process of changing I don't have a manager right now, but I was in the process of changing my agency. I had just signed with a new agent, and I did send him an email, and I was like, hey, FYI, I have no idea if anything's going to come from this, but here are a couple of articles. This is starting to pick up steam. We've got digital representation for our proposal video, which we did. We did secure that, which ended up being fruitless because it didn't, you know, I think it's only at this point got like 300,000 or no, maybe like seven. It's not even hit a million hits.
Yeah.
And a lot of other ones have like 10 million. So that didn't pan out. But I sent my agent an email and he was like, cool. And it was cool, but nothing. I was even willing to, I had these ideas in my head. I was like, okay, if anyone approaches me, here's my pitch. Is that we do a creative proposal television show and I'll host it. Like, I'm not really that into hosting, but there's more than one way to skin a cat, and it would be an entertainment job, and it would be something that I could really wrap my hands around, I think, and do something fun with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, that's my pitch. And that's what I was waiting. I was like, if anyone comes to me and says, like, you know, like, hey, this is crazy. Oh, do you have any ideas? That would have been my idea. It would have been like, I can help, you know, if people have really fun ways they want to propose to their, how much fun would that job be?
Yeah.
Like helping grooms plan.
I feel like that could be like, not a TLC show, but maybe like a Bravo show.
Yes. Isn't Say Yes
like
to the Dress on
Spike?
Is that on TLC?
Spike is for
dudes.
I
feel like Bravo. What's the show? What's the channel that I've seen this competition? It's called Four Weddings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen that
TLC.
Show? Is that on TLC? So maybe it's a TLC show, but I feel like it could be like an E show, like a little more.
Yeah. Or VH1. Edgy. Does VH1 still exist? I don't think I've watched VH1 forever.
No.
They just started doing some stupid programming. Like, I can't. It just got stupid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was curious to know, like, how that sort of
impacted
you.
I got a dozen roses from Pro Flowers. But that's only because they were in the middle of a campaign in August where they were sending all kinds of women a dozen roses and just saying like #liveyourlove or I don't remember, but they were just doing that a lot to drum up interest in their business and like have women. So I was like, I felt really special when they were like, we're gonna send you flowers, and I started looking at the hashtag. I was like, oh, they're sending everyone flowers.
I didn't
right
get
now.
Flowers.
Well,
you should know that you're special.
Well, I got a free dozen roses, and the card that came with it had a lot of misspellings on it, so you should be really jealous.
Oh, that's
I blame the worst. I blame the florist they had deliver them, not them.
But still, that's terrible.
But they were sweet, and that's really it tangibly, other than just all the fun.
Do you and Alec, though, feel like you want to follow up with anything else? Do you want to take this sort of moment in time, not necessarily for your wedding, but like this name recognition that you have, and maybe launch it into something else? Is there like YouTube videos you want to create? Is there stuff you want to do? I know we talked about Periscope and Snapchat a little bit, but
right.
I don't know how much of a shelf life those would have. But Is there anything you guys are thinking about doing? Are you just so, like, focused on the wedding right now?
We're so focused on the wedding right now. But as you're saying that, I'm like, I think Alec is so very focused on, he's entered a new, kind of a new phase of his career. And that's fantastic. And I'm open to a lot of different things. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking as you're asking me that, I'm like, well, you know, if E doesn't want to come knocking, like, I could always, I mean, making something for YouTube is not that difficult. Like, I could always do my own proposal, creative proposal show. Like, contact, find grooms who want to propose and help them make it happen.
There's so many things like that that are now getting discovered and now getting put on TV.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listened to episode 5 with my friend Rich Keith, who produced Significant Mother, the CW's new show.
Yes, I did.
It started as a web series.
That's nuts.
That the CW was like, this is really good. We're going to put it on our network. And now he's the executive producer and co-creator of a freaking TV show.
That's wild.
So I feel like we live in a time where those viral moments, if you use them well and you have the time and opportunity to do it, just like could launch you into something else.
Yeah.
I don't know that the average Vine star, YouTube star that's like making dick around videos is going to have anything from it. But because you are an actress as well, there could be something there.
There could be.
So I want to encourage you to do it. Yes. Get on it. So then you can come back on my show and be like, I'm a really big star
I'm
now.
Really important now. And I'm a huge star. It's all thanks to you, Heather.
The little people. Thanks for having me on your little show. But thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It was truly a pleasure. And we'll have you on Carry On
please
as soon
do.
As possible.
That'd be a lot of fun. So where can people find out more information about you? Do you have a website?
I don't have a website.
But they can follow you on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm on IMDb. You can look at, you know, things I've done, like Sex Sent Me to the ER. You know, Shakespearean endeavors like that.
Right.
I did just film a movie with Jenny Garofalo, though she's not in any scenes with me.
That's okay.
In the same movie I'm in. It's called The Happies.
The Happies, okay.
It's a little independent movie that's, I think, going to probably be making festival circuits for a while. But I'm very proud of being involved in that.
You should be. That's fantastic.
But I'm on Instagram at AllHallowsCat. I'm on Twitter at _AllHallowsCat. I don't want to talk about it. I hate the underscore. And I'm on, I'm on Facebook, and you can find my podcasts on Facebook
and
just
iTunes.
Google any of these things. And we're on iTunes for
free. Go to iTunes and find Boys and Ghouls with Kat and Marshall. And then also look up Carry On. It is the only Sex and the City fandom podcast, right?
It is the only one. And it's very, it's very not safe for work. We have really fun, filthy conversations. It's very no holds barred.
So I love it.
Very different from Boys and Ghouls is like fun, and we try not to curse on it. And,
oh, really?
Most of the time.
Well,
sometimes
that's what's
I'll
great about podcasts is that you can swear it up.
Yes, fuck.
I like to cuss a lot.
It's my favorite thing, actually. I've really been holding back today for no good reason because I didn't need to. It just didn't come up. But I'm a sailor.
I'm going to look forward to putting the E for explicit next to this podcast.
Yes.
But I've had a lot of fun, so I'm so glad you got to come by.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. And congratulations again on the upcoming wedding. I can't wait to see all
the
pictures.
We're pretty excited.
No pressure.
Uh-huh.
But they're going to be beautiful. I've seen the dress. It's gorgeous.
Yay.
But I will not describe it for anybody.
No.
I'll
kill you.
Yeah, please. And feel free. I would kill me too. So thanks so much for listening, you guys. And we have more exciting shows coming up throughout the month of October. So make sure you check out Kat's Boys and Ghouls Halloween special. It's coming out on October 13th. Make sure you look for that on iTunes and also on their Boys and Ghouls. I think they're on Podbean, right?
Yep.
Yeah, go and check that out as well. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's MIH Podcast. Also on Instagram, Motherhood in Hollywood, and on Facebook at Motherhood in Hollywood. I hope you guys are having a great week and picking out all of your Halloween costumes. I can't wait to see them. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
Mama funny.
Balls.